Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
This is LBC London News.
23 minutes past five right now here on LBC London News. This is Chris Galt with you on Drive, Monday the 12th of September. So let's talk about the US election and, wow, what a weekend it was for the US election. Hillary Clinton and her campaign have now conceded that they did make a mistake by not disclosing that she's been diagnosed with pneumonia. She's currently at home in New York and has cancelled a campaign trip to California, though she is expected to apparently address supporters there on a video link. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has said he's going to release the results of a recent physical examination later on this week. Joining me now, live from the US, is our US correspondent, Simon Marks. Very good evening to you, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
Well, what a weekend it was. The
Amazing.
Clinton campaign under fire, even from some prominent Democrats over this attempt to cover up her pneumonia diagnosis. How are they responding?
Yes, well, I mean, I think the important thing to stress from the outset is that there are two aspects to this story. First of all, there's the health aspect and the disclosure that Hillary Clinton is indeed suffering from pneumonia after a week in which she looked pretty dreadful on the campaign trail. I was being assailed on Twitter last week by Clinton supporters who were accusing me of sexism when a couple of times during the week I pointed out that I didn't think she was looking too clever. And now, of course, we learn that indeed she wasn't feeling well. These were not seasonal allergies that were assailing her as she had claimed, but pneumonia. She was diagnosed with it on Friday, prescribed a course of antibiotics, but never disclosed that to the public or to the reporters who are covering her. And that's in stark contrast to the claims of the campaign, who just a week ago were saying to reporters, come on the plane with her, we're going to open up to you, we're going to be much more transparent. Transparent, as is orthodox for American political campaigns. This has clearly enraged even some top Democrats. David Axelrod, he was the architect of Barack Obama's election victories back in 2008 and 2012. He writes on Twitter, antibiotics can take care of pneumonia. What's the cure for an unhealthy penchant for privacy that repeatedly creates unnecessary problems? I was communicating over the weekend with someone firmly in the Clintons' orbit, and when I said, I can't believe they didn't disclose the pneumonia, that person said to me, arrogance, plain and simple, it's the worst campaign staff in history. There are some loyal Clinton supporters taking to the air here. They include Congressman Xavier Becerra from California, who, like the campaign itself, is conceding that they could have handled things better over the weekend, but nonetheless, he's still saying that Hillary Clinton is going to make a full recovery and is being more transparent than her opponent in this election.
Whoever becomes president, we want to make sure is as transparent as possible, as open as possible. That's why early on, Secretary Clinton did release a summary of her medical history. We're still waiting for something from Donald Trump.
That's certainly true, but nonetheless, this question of transparency is not currently working in Hillary Clinton's favor.
I mean, it just seems extraordinary in this day of social media. Everyone's got cameras, everyone's got video phones. How on earth they thought they were going to get away with it?
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. And if you've seen, I'm sure many of our listeners have seen that video of her seeming to collapse into the hands of her aides as she left the September the 11th commemorations up in New York. Evidently, there was something very wrong. And even then, it was several hours before they told reporters that she'd been diagnosed with pneumonia on Friday. And when she made her way out of that September the 11th commemoration, there was no communication with the news media and therefore with voters about exactly what was happening. It's only thanks to that passerby with a cell phone that we actually have that video that shows how serious the situation there was on Saturday for her.
I mean, I saw on social media, I was watching it sort of all develop yesterday, and I did see a lot of people saying, or I did see some people saying just how hot it was yesterday. Even people who were, say, you know, those athletes and dancers and so on and so forth performing at Disney World in Florida, saying how hot it was and that some of them had fainted just because of how hot the weather was. But still, there's this question of just getting that information out there quickly.
Yes, no, that's the issue. I'm sorry, I said Saturday. I meant Sunday. It feels like it was Saturday, but of course it was only yesterday. No, that's exactly the issue. This issue of transparency with information is something that always seems to trip the Clintons up. And the problem that's now created by all of this, Chris, is, as you know, there's a huge whispering campaign that's been out there for many weeks about conspiracy theorists alleging real problems that are being covered up by the Clinton team with regards to Hillary Clinton's health. Now, you know, she may well have become dehydrated in the heat there in New York. She may well be suffering from a highly treatable form of pneumonia that will allow her to bounce back and get back on the campaign trail in a couple of days and be a picture of health going forward. But the problem is she's now ignited that conspiracy theory conversation and made the issue of her health absolutely center stage for the moment in this presidential campaign. And when the campaign, as it does, denies the theories of the conspiracy theorists, the conspiracy theorists now have the ability to say, yeah, but you weren't transparent and open about the pneumonia, so why should we believe you about anything else?
Extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. How's Mr. Trump responding to all of this then? Because I would have thought he's got to be quite careful to not be seen to be capitalising on the issue of Mrs. Clinton's health.
He's playing it very carefully. We were all keeping an eye on his Twitter account minute by minute yesterday, and there was nothing from him. Complete silence. They must have taken his cell phone away from him. They gave it back to him, though, in time for him to appear on the Fox News channel this morning, and here's what he had to say.
Something's going on, but I just hope she gets well and gets back on the trail, and we'll be seeing her at the debate.
So he goes halfway down the road there. Something's going on, but he doesn't know what it is. He just really looks forward to seeing her on the campaign trail. And then he tried to turn the whole story around. And he announced that he had recently, just last week, he says, had a full physical examination. Here's a bit more of that interview on Fox.
I'll be releasing when the numbers come in. Hopefully they're going to be good. I think they're going to be good. I feel great. But when the numbers come in, I'll be releasing very, very, very specific numbers.
And just to be clear, Donald Trump up until now has not released very, very specific numbers. Hillary Clinton put out a 2-page fact sheet about her health record. Donald Trump's was even thinner than that. Just 1 page, a letter written by a New York neurologist, that's not easy to say, a few weeks ago. And that neurologist conceded last week that he knocked the letter up in about 5 minutes after receiving an urgent telephone call from Donald Trump, who said, I need to give something to the media about my health. And it was a laughable document. I mean, we did all laugh about it at the time, claiming that, you know, no human specimen has ever sought the office of the presidency in a greater degree of physical shape than the remarkable Donald Trump. But absolutely no specifics about his own health record beyond, if memory serves, the fact that he'd been hospitalized when he was 19 for a case of appendicitis. So now he says that he's going to put much more detail into the public domain, and that's clearly an attempt to get ahead of this story and try and force Hillary Clinton to do the same.
So when will we find out more about Mr. Trump's own health record? Because, as you say, those details have been very thin on the ground, other than that he's the fittest man to ever run for the presidency.
Well, amazingly, it would seem that we're going to find out about Donald Trump's health record this Thursday on the Dr. Oz show. I don't know if you're a maven of the Dr. Oz show, Chris, but for the uninitiated, Dr. Mehmet Oz, I can't remember where he got his start. Did he get his start on the Oprah Winfrey show? I think he did,
Oprah,
Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dr. Oz has this afternoon television program here, all about various health matters, and it seems that Donald Trump will be revealing the results of his health exam on the Dr. Oz show later this week. Dr. Oz happened to be on NBC this morning as this news came out that Donald Trump was planning to release the results on the Dr. Oz program. Even he, the host of the programme, didn't seem entirely certain that that is what was going to occur, but he did confirm Donald Trump's a guest.
This has become a big issue for the presidential candidates, so I've invited both, and Mr. Trump is coming on first, so he will be on Thursday, and I'm hoping that Secretary Clinton will join us as well. I know that both candidates are talking a little bit about their health issues, but because it's come up as such a big politically charged topic, I think it makes sense for both to have a conversation about it. And I'm not trying to pry or probe. I'm just trying to hear what's really going on in their lives.
And he will have the opportunity to find out, at least from Donald Trump, what's going on in his life on Thursday when Donald Trump sits down. I don't know if there's a couch or chairs on the Dr. Oz show, but he'll be sitting down alongside Dr. Oz on Thursday afternoon. See, I'm not a maven of the program.
No, I mean, but how much more like a reality TV show can this election really become?
I mean, that's the reality that we're facing, isn't it? I mean, this is an extraordinary election campaign under any circumstances, and the idea that this kind of thing is going to play out on a reality television programme raises questions, of course, about the future discourse that we're going to witness over the next 60-odd days before Election Day. Donald Trump has made another suggestion today as we hurtle towards the first presidential debate, which is going to take place on September the 26th in New York. He has said, perhaps we shouldn't have a moderator. Perhaps it should just be Hillary Clinton and me going at it for an hour together in a room. There will be a moderator. It's going to be Lester Holt of NBC News. But it's very interesting that Donald Trump, having last week accepted that he's going to participate in the debates, is once again raising these questions about the fairness of the moderators. And wouldn't it just be better if they got out of the way and Hillary and I went at it? I was going to say man to man, man to woman. So that's all going to be interesting and just plays into this whole sense that we are in the midst of not so much an election campaign as a massive reality television programme, which is, of course, utterly disastrous for democracy and for civic discourse.
I mean, as a journalist, this is the first ever US election that I've covered. Obviously, I've been very interested in other US elections, always been interested in the presidency and the White House and American politics, but I just can't get over every day that we speak to each other, Simon, it just seems to be more and more bonkers. And we've got 60-something days to go.
Just under 60 days to go, yes. I mean, regular listeners to this channel will know that I have been out here reporting events for LBC for nearly a quarter of a century now. And I have certainly never witnessed anything like this. The Economist had a terrific editorial over the weekend in which it described this as a post-truth election. And I think in many ways that's absolutely correct. You know, normally there's a huge amount of circus and fandango to American elections. We all know that. We all know that vast amounts of money are spent on an enormous amount of hoopla. But there is usually at least the subtext of a serious political conversation that's taking place about, you know, issues and facts. And that conversation really barely takes place here. I mean, we did have it a little bit last week when Donald Trump unveiled his national security policies, and then he and Hillary Clinton went on television separately, back-to-back, giving interviews to talk about national security policies. But, you know, that was an extraordinarily rare moment. I mean, I almost had to sort of, you know, pinch myself. Heavens, we're going to talk about policy. It was the first time, really, that that had happened in weeks. And now, of course, that's all gone away again because we're talking about health. There will be people out there who say, well, you're choosing to talk about health. Well, the reality is that I think that, you know, had the Clinton team been more transparent about the issues that Hillary Clinton was facing, we'd probably be talking about something different today. It's the Clinton campaign's decision to try and cover up this bout of pneumonia. And let's be honest, that's what they were doing. They were trying to cover it up. That's what has turned this into a story.
Going back to Hillary, there must be enormous pressure on her now to provide this detailed medical information, given the way her campaign has really played, well, fast and loose with the facts this week.
Yes, and what, of course, is so interesting is that since they do appear not to have planned to disclose the fact that she had been diagnosed with pneumonia, one has to wonder whether they were planning to publish detailed medical records, because, of course, had they published detailed medical records, we would all have been able to see that while she was on the campaign trail, she'd been diagnosed with pneumonia. Donald Trump by announcing that he's had a physical and he's ready to go, he's ready to release his results, is upping the ante. He's trying to say to the Clinton team, I'm putting my medical record out there. I'm not raising any direct questions about Hillary Clinton's health personally. There are, of course, other people who support Donald Trump who are. Maybe it's time for her to put her medical records out there publicly. Don't forget there's another dynamic to that conversation, which is the Hillary Clinton team saying, well, how about putting your tax records out there publicly, Donald Trump? Your health records are very interesting, but why don't you, like every other American presidential candidate in living memory, give the voters a chance to look at your tax returns? That's something that Donald Trump still insists he's got no plans to do.
How, when it all boils down to it, how many voters do you think actually change their minds based on, like, the health of the candidates or the, whether they've published their tax returns? I mean, does any of that really matter?
Well, that, I think, is a big question. And you can certainly argue that the media is making too much hay out of this health story because, at the end of the day, do we honestly think that there are voters out there that say, goodness me, she's got pneumonia, right, I'm going to vote for the other guy now. And it's probably true. There probably aren't many voters that change their minds based simply on the health of the candidate, although voters do want to know that at the ages of 68 and 70, respectively, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have got the they've got the muster to get through a 4-year or possibly an 8-year term in the White House. The reason why this story matters politically is because Hillary Clinton, all the polling shows, has got a massive trust and credibility issue with voters. There are voters out there that say, I'd like to go with her, I just don't know if I can trust her. And it's the failure of the campaign to disclose this pneumonia diagnosis that underscores that sense that somehow the Clinton people just aren't being honest with the American public. If they're not being honest about the state of her health, why would they be honest about a whole raft of other issues? And that plays in also, to Chris, to the other story of the weekend, which we were covering before the health issue. And that's the phrase that she used in that speech in Manhattan on Friday night, calling half of Donald Trump's supporters a basket of deplorables, racist, homophobes, xenophobes. She then sort of walked halfway back, saying she regretted using the phrase half, but she stood by the basket of deplorables comment. This is a woman who's, when she said that, standing behind a podium that says stronger together. And again, if you're a floating voter, you might say to yourself, I thought she was all about uniting the country, but here she is actually putting people into baskets and calling some people irredeemable. I mean, irredeemable. So that, again, plays into questions about whether she's got credibility and trustworthy issues that she can defuse between now and Election Day.
So big questions for Hillary Clinton's team and... Well, I'd like to ask them if any of them had ever watched the White House, the West Wing.
Yes, I suspect they have. I'm not sure they've necessarily learned very much from it, but I suspect they have.
Extraordinary stuff. Thank you very much, Simon Marks, our US correspondent live from Washington for us here on LBC London News.